Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 118. Psalm chapter 118. Imagine if you found yourself in Old Testament times before the Savior of the world came. This was something that the people looked forward to with great anticipation. Today is what we call Palm Sunday. It represents the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem the week that he would be crucified. The people were looking for and waiting for the Savior of the world to come and save them. However, they were under the impression that he would come and save them from the oppression of the other nations. They believed that when the Savior came, that he was going to get rid of the Roman oppression. They thought that when the Savior came, he would restore Israel to the Davidic rulership. But what Jesus was coming to save them and us from was something far greater than national oppression. He was coming to save the world from sin. In the Old Testament, the psalmist gives us a picture into this day that would come when the Savior of the world would come into the city and lay down his life for our sins. Often in the Old Testament, we find beautiful pictures of the gospel. In Psalm 118, beginning in verse 25, the Word of God reads, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage from the psalmist that gives us a picture into the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into the city of Jerusalem where he would go to die on the cross. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the beauty and the truth in this passage. And I pray that you would bring each and every one of us to a place of worship, to a place of giving thanks to you for all that you have done in our lives. Prepare our hearts even now for next Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you. We give this time to you, asking, Holy Spirit, that you would take over this service, that you would take over my thoughts, that you would take over my words, and that you would speak your truth to your people as only you can. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage, there are some beautiful truths that we see. The first truth that we see is he comes to us. And the psalmist wrote, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." The psalmist cries out for Yahweh to save, understanding that he is the only one who can save. What's really cool about this passage is that the Hebrew word that is used for save now or save us is the equivalent of the Aramaic word Hosanna. So in other words, what this psalmist is saying is, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now to most of us, that should sound very familiar, because these are the words that we hear when Jesus makes his triumphant entry into the city on Palm Sunday. Matthew's account says, "And the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were crying out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Mark's account says, "And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Luke's account says, saying, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And John's account says, on the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Many years, a long time before Jesus ever makes his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem, many years before the crowd shouts out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," the psalmist pens these powerful and beautiful words, showing us what will happen. And this helps us to see and to know that we can trust the Bible. We can trust the Word of God. We can trust that the Bible is true and trustworthy. Because again, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is over 300 prophecies about Jesus that are fulfilled in Jesus. And so we can take and know that this is true. And so the psalmist says, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. I pray, send now prosperity." The psalmist is praying for God to save and to sustain. As we think about this, this should be a cry from our hearts each day for God to save us and to sustain us. Now, this does not mean that we need to be saved as a Christian every day for salvation, but we do need to be saved from ourselves. We do need to be saved from the troubles and the trials of this world, and the list could go on to the many ways that God is able to save us. Because the truth of the nature is, we have always and we will always need God. We never get to the point in our lives where we no longer need God. We never get to the point in our lives where we no longer need Jesus Christ to reach out to us. We never get to the point in our lives on this earth where we stop sinning. Amen. And so we need the power of our God to save us and sustain us each and every day. We need to fall before God and cry out, "Oh God, save! Oh God, sustain us!" We need his help and protection all the time. And the truth is that only God can save and only God can sustain us. The text begins with the writer crying out to the Lord to save him. We need to know that only God can save us. He can save us from our sins and he can save us from our situations. And that is the beautiful truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ can save us from our sins. Every single person, every single human being, everybody that has ever walked the face of this earth or will ever walk the face of this earth is a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible is very clear that we have all sinned. If we've ever told a lie, that's a sin. If we've ever thought a bad thought about another person, that's a sin. If we've ever dishonored or disrespected our husband or our wife, that is a sin. And all these sins separate us from God. And so God in his love for us sent Jesus. And Jesus saves us from our sins. But not only does Jesus save us from our sins, but he also saves us from our situations. I don't know about you guys, but every once in a while I get myself in a pickle. Sometimes I get myself in trouble. You know, Jesus is there to save us from our troubles.
Amen.
How many times should we have died and God saved us? And I joke, and it's not really a joke because it's true. If we've made it from our teenage years to adulthood years, it's because God has saved us. Because every single one of us has done something dumb that should have got us killed when we were teenagers. But God in his grace and mercy continues to save us and sustain us each and every day of our lives. We can also cry out to him to save those around us. That's the beautiful thing about God. We should be praying for the lost to be found. And I'm guilty of this too, but I wonder, how much time do we spend praying to keep saints out of heaven than we do praying for sinners to get into heaven? And think about it. How much time do we spend praying that God would keep incredibly godly people who are suffering,
who are hurting, who are in pain, saying, God, leave them on this earth, even though they're safe, because I'm selfish and want to keep them here with me. I'm guilty of it. I'm reaching to me too. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for them, but we should always pray for God's will to be done in those situations. But the concern that I have is, how much time do we spend praying for these saints that God would keep them out of heaven compared to the amount of time we spend praying for the lost? I've been saying this since the beginning of the year, and it's been my challenge to us as a church this year, that we spend time praying for the lost, praying for people to get saved, praying for people to be baptized, and the baptismal to be filled once again. Because I wonder if why the church is not seeing people come into salvation like it used to is because the people of God are not praying for the lost to be saved. We're so busy praying for ourselves, which again is not a bad thing. We're so busy praying for one another, which again is not a bad thing. But there also needs to be a prayer for the lost. You and I should be on our knees every day before God, crying out that the lost would get saved, praying that people would surrender their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. We are to pray that God would reach down, touch their hearts, show them that they need Him, and then that they would come to Him as their Lord. Who do you know that's lost today? I want you to take a moment right here, right now, and I'm going to ask you where you're sitting to pray for that person. I'm sure every single one of us knows someone that's lost that does not know Christ. And I want to ask that you'd pray for them. So take a moment right now and pray for them. Now I'm going to issue a hard challenge. If they live around here, invite them to Easter services next Sunday. Pray for them that this Easter they would give their heart and their life to Christ. Now, in order to save us, God sent His Son. And that's where this beautiful phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," comes in. Jesus came to us in order to save us from our sins and to bring us into a relationship with God the Father. God the Father, in His great love, sent God the Son, Jesus, to come to the earth. And so Jesus came in the name of the Lord, and He came to save. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Romans 5:8 tells us that, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Praise be to God that Jesus came to save. Jesus came to convict us of our sins. We need to understand that when we do wrong, it is sin. And so Jesus came to convict us of those sins and to help us to see that sin is wrong and that we all commit sin. Jesus not only came to convict us of our sins, but praise be to God, Jesus came to set us free from our sins. Amen. He didn't come just to say, "These are your sins, you need to deal with them." He came to say, "These are your sins, I have dealt with them. Amen. I have taken your sins upon me. I have set you free by my blood that I shed on the cross, and you can be saved because of what I've done, not because of anything you've done." And so, yes, He does convict us of our sins, but He also sets us free of our sins. Jesus also came to heal us from what sin has done. Because as we think about it, sin has some pretty nasty effects, doesn't it? Sin hurts. It hurts us. It hurts the people around us. It hurts the church. It hurts the world. But Jesus came to heal us of that sin cost. And Jesus came to love us in spite of our sin. I want you guys to hear this morning. Doesn't matter what you've done.
doesn't matter how checkered or dark your past may be. It doesn't matter the sins that you have committed or the number. Jesus still loves you. Jesus loves us regardless of anything that we have done. And He came to reveal our sins, to offer us hope and freedom. Jesus came in the name of the Lord, and He is the only one who can save us. So I'm going to ask you to do one more thing this morning. I'm going to ask you to take another moment. And this time I'm going to ask you to take a moment to thank Jesus for coming in the name of the Lord to save you. I want you to take just a moment to thank Jesus for what He's done in your life. If you've never made that choice, I want to challenge you to do that today. I want to challenge you to see me before you leave today and to surrender your heart and your life to Christ. Because when it comes to Jesus, we need to understand He is God. Verse 27 says, God is the Lord, and He has given us light, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. When it comes to Jesus, we need to understand that He is more than just a good person. We need to understand that He's more than just a good teacher. We need to understand that He's more than just a good prophet. We need to understand that He is God in the flesh. We need to understand that Jesus is God. The psalmist says, God is the Lord, or El is Yahweh. In other words, what the psalmist is saying, he is saying that the only God is Yahweh, which is the covenant name of Holy God. The Hebrew word that we are given, which in its root means to save. Yahweh, the covenant name, even the covenant name of God has saving overtures in it. And this is the name that He has given to His people to call Him by. And Yahweh is the powerful creator, covenant God of Israel. And just so we're all on the same page, Yahweh is the pronunciation, not Jehovah. In all honesty, Jehovah is a made-up name. It is a mix of the Hebrew and the Latin combined together. It's not Jehovah Jireh, it's Yahweh Yireh. And so Yahweh is the covenant name of awesome, mighty, creator God. And the psalmist is saying, the God that we serve, the God of Israel, the God that entered into covenant with our father Abraham, He's God and He alone. There is no other. As you notice, this is beautiful. This is powerful. The fact that the Lord is God, the fact that Yahweh is God, helps us to see, number one, He's in charge. God is God. The Lord is God, and that means He is in charge. That means He is in control. That means that He has created all that is. That means that He is in control of our lives. He's in charge of our lives. After all, He created us. God is the one who made us. God is the one who created us. God is the one who saves us. And God is the one who sustains us. You and I would not be here today if God did not deem it necessary that we were born. The fact that you and I were born is because of God's grace. And on top of that, God gives us His salvation. Not only are we born, but we're born again. We are brought into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through His sacrifice on the cross. It is completely and totally by the work of God, not because of anything that we have done. And He continues to sustain us. The fact that you and I still have breath in our lungs is because He allows us to continue breathing. He is in control.
And we need to ask ourselves today if we treat the Lord as God. Now, this is a difficult challenge to us. Do we treat the Lord as God? Does He control our lives? Does He dictate what we do? Does He determine where we go and when we go? Do we have Him as number one in our lives? Or do we only have Him when there's nothing else going on? Is God in control? Does He come first in our lives? Because after all, He is the light. The psalmist says, and He has given us light. Revelation 21:23 says, and the city, this is talking about New Jerusalem, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and the Lamb is the lamp. Think about that. In the new heaven and in the new earth, when New Jerusalem is created, there will not be no sun or no moon, because the glory of God is going to be so bright that we don't need no other light. That's pretty awesome. 1 John 1:5 says, and this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but we will have the light of life. And this is how we connect Jesus to God, and Jesus being God, because, and He has given us light, and we know the light that God has given us is Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. With God, we don't need to worry about ever being in the dark. And honestly, I'm afraid of the dark. Always have been, probably always will be. Mm-hmm. Always like to have little light. I can't sleep if it's pitch black. I just can't. I like the light. I don't like the darkness. But you know what? With God, we're never in the darkness. Amen. With God, we're always in the light. And when the light shines on us, we are able to see what is true. Light reveals what is there. When you walk into a dark room, you can't see anything. And if you've never been in that room before, walking around it, it's not a very good idea. But when you turn the light on, or for my friends down here in the South, when you cut the light on, the darkness flees, and what is there is revealed. Do you know that Jesus is the light that reveals the truth of the Word of God to us through the power of the Holy Spirit? The only way that we're able to understand and know the Word of God is because God reveals it to us through His Son and through the Holy Spirit. When we turn on the light, we can see everything that's on in the room. When we see the light of God, we see the truth of Jesus. What is true is Jesus loves us. What is true is that Jesus came to save us. What is true is that Jesus made His triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem knowing that they were going to crucify Him. He knew when He went into the city on that fateful Sunday, He knew what was going to happen Friday. He knew that He was going to be betrayed by Judas. He knew that His faithful follower, Peter, who just moments prior would cut the ear of a servant off, would moments later deny that he even knew Jesus. He knew that he would be arrested. He knew that he would be beaten and bruised and bloodied. He knew that he would be nailed to the cross where he would die and shed his precious blood. He knew all this. But he went into the city anyway because of his love for us. He knew he would suffer. He knew he would die. But he walked right into the city of Jerusalem. Blessed is he. The psalmist also says in this little passage, he says, bind the sacrifice. He says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Now, there is no record in the Old Testament of them ever tying the sacrifice down. So this must be pointing to something else. Do you know that they bound the Savior and took Him off to die? He came in the name of the Lord. to be the light so that we can see our need for a Savior. Jesus is that Savior, for he died on the cross for our sins so that we can be saved. And our natural response to all that God has done for us should be praise. Verse 28 and 29. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Not only do we see the psalmist say that the Lord is God, but he makes it personal. He says, he is my God. Not only is the Lord God, but the Lord is my God. And we need to make it personal. We need to say, you are my God. We need to say that he has saved us by his grace. We need to understand that he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How much good has God done for you in your lives? How much good have you and I experienced because of the relationship and the love and the life that we have with Jesus Christ? And it says his mercy, or his faithful love, his unending love endures forever. He will love us forever. He will never leave us. He is always with us. And when we think about all this, when we combine all this together, you are my God. You are good. Your faithful, loving kindness is with me for all times. It should bring us to a place where we fall on our face and worship God. Right now, I'm reading through Ezekiel in my quiet time, and I'm to the point where he is talking about the temple that's going to be built in the future. And he talks about how the presence of God comes and settles on the east gate. And when he sees God come, when he sees the presence of God settle down, Ezekiel's response twice is to fall on his face before God and worship. And when we see Jesus for who he is, when we see blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, it should bring us to the point where we worship him. My praise should come from my heart for all the good that God has done for me. His wonderful, faithful love endures for all times. Jesus came to save us, so we have hope. The psalmist makes it very personal by offering up praise to God. He says, you are my God. Is he yours? Is he your God today? He says, I will give thanks. Are we thankful? Are we thankful for all that God has done for us? He says, I will exalt you. The word exalt means to put high, to prioritize, to put above other things. What are we exalting in our lives? Do we exalt ourselves? Do we exalt ball? Because, you know, if ball's going on, we can't go to church. Do we exalt money? Do we exalt someone else? Do we exalt our job? Do we exalt et cetera, et cetera? The list could go on and on and on. The question is, what do we put up here? I will never forget what my missions professor said to me. He said, show me your church's checkbook, and I'll show you what's important to them. The same is important in our lives. Where we spend our time and our money tells what's important to us. Often we say, I don't have time to be involved in the church, then you're too busy. Because God has called us to be Christians. God has called us to be involved in his mission. God has said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some. God has called us to be his hands and his feet. God has called us to be the men and women that we are to be, and we are to make him a priority. Family is important, but we should never put our family above God. Amen. Jobs are important, but we should never put our job above God. There are so many things in life that, yes, they're important, but they didn't die on the cross for our sins. I don't care how great your job is or how much money you make. It did not die on the cross for your sins. I don't care how great and wonderful our family is. Our family did not die on the cross for our sins. You know, some of our family would send us to the cross. instead of taking our place. And the psalmist says, I will exalt you. Are we exalting God? Are we putting God above everything else in our lives? And so we are to exalt him. We are to praise his name. Due to all that God has done for us, it should lead us to the point of thanks and praise. God is good and his love does last forever. Where would you be today without the love of God? Where would you be today if God never took the time to love you? Where would you be today if God never sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins? Where would you be today if you never came into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? When we see the blessing that God has bestowed upon us, our natural response is that of gratitude for what he has done. The definition of worship is an attitude of gratitude for all that God has done for us. Worship is simply being thankful for God for everything he's done for us. When we see him for who he is, we worship him. As we get ready for Easter next week, we need to take the time today to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Because he came, we have forgiveness. Because he died, we have forgiveness. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Today, we take the time to celebrate the fact that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and went to the cross. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He came, he is God, he is light, and we are to praise his great and awesome name. What is God saying to us today? Blessed is he. Have you given your life to him? Have you given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? If not, I invite you to come. I invite you to see me afterwards. Do we know that he is God and his words are true? Do we understand that he is God and we are not? And do we praise him for all that he does? Jesus came out of love to give his life on the cross for us. Are we living our lives for him? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that Jesus came. Because of him, I have been saved. What about you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your incredible grace, love, and mercy. We're so thankful that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross so that we could be free. We're so grateful that he came into the city knowing that he would go to the cross, for it's at the cross that we find our hope and our salvation in the fact that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and rose again. And Lord, if there's someone in here that does not know you, I pray that today would be the day that they surrender their heart and their life to Christ, that they would say yes to Jesus. And I pray, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that your spirit would help us to see and to know the truth about you. And I pray that we'll leave here today praising your great name because you are good and your mercy endures forever. I pray, Lord, that we would see our need to pray for the lost, that there's so many people around that don't know you, that don't have a personal relationship with you. We've got people in our families. We've got people in our grocery stores. We've got people at our job. We've got people around us, people that we love, people that we care about. We've got friends, and we know that if they were to die today, they would spend eternity in hell. Lord, I pray that you would give us a passion to pray for them, to pray them out of hell, to pray for their salvation, to pray that the gospel would penetrate their heart and penetrate their lives, and that they would surrender their heart and their life completely and totally to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray that they would take it seriously and that they would live their life for you, that they wouldn't just go through the motions, but that their life would be changed and transformed by the gospel because it has the power to save. And I pray that as we get ready for Easter, we would allow your spirit to lead us. I pray that as we come to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, that as we come to celebrate the salvation that has been given to us that we don't deserve, that we would simply say thank you, that we would praise and worship your holy and great name. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. As we have our song of invitation,